Hello and welcome to Viewpoints. My name is Boris Hossain. I'll be with you for the next half hour. On today's show, we go green with all-electric and solar news. A Nova Scotia camping ground becomes the first net-zero installation of its kind in Canada.
There's a direct link between the visitor's experience here in the campground and the knowledge that their experience is powered entirely by the sun.
Canada's first commercially available electric boat and marine charger were recently launched in Kingston, Ontario. The Voltari 260 now silently cruises Lake Ontario.
To be able to remove that noise is makes the future very exciting. And it also allows you to talk to your friends without yelling at them.
The construction of a 117-kilometer bidirectional underwater electricity transmission line has been shelved in Ontario. The Lake Erie Connector project was set to run between Haldimand, Ontario and Pennsylvania, USA. And you can now ride solar while you drink, eat, and tour some of Halifax's best spots with Atlantic Canada's first solar-powered pedal bus.
We would have been the first in Canada back in late 2015, early 2016, except for we had trouble getting the bikes allowed to be used on the road.
And the Kingston East Community Centre will go green and install 460 solar panels on its grounds. This will provide 96% of the centre's energy needs. Welcome to Viewpoints.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
Campers at the Kijimakujik National Park, some 175 kilometers west of Halifax, Nova Scotia, will be the first to set up their tent on a net-zero energy camping ground. That's because the national park and historic site has been using solar panels to generate enough power to meet the needs of Jeremy's Bay Camping Ground visitors. The location for the solar park was chosen in consultation with the park's Mi'kmaq partners. In Liverpool, Nova Scotia, Ed Halverson had a chat with camping site supervisor Jonathan Shepherd.
Power consumption at Kijimakujik is now as green as its renowned forests. Since May, the National Park and Historic Site has been generating enough power on-site using solar panels to meet the needs of campers in Jeremy's Bay Campground. Site supervisor at Kijimakujik, Jonathan Shepherd, says this makes Kedji the first park in Canada to go net zero.
The power that's actually consumed by visitors and the number of visitors that we have here is it's actually a hard sort of category of greenhouse gas emissions to reduce because, you know, it's up to individual choices and equipment and gear and stuff. So the principle for this one, for offsetting it, allows us to generate, you know, an equivalent amount of power so that when visitors come here that they know that their experience is powered by the sun and basically that it's a net zero camping experience.
Power is not stored at Kedji but is sold to Nova Scotia Power and purchased back, creating a net zero exchange. Generating over 12,000 kilowatts per month, the 100 kilowatt solar array is made up of 272 photovoltaic panels and covers a 40 by 60 meter area. The array is located in a clearing near the front of the park, out of view of visitors on the site of a former weather station. Shepherd says the location was chosen after consultation with Mi'kmaq partners.
They were involved in the archaeology around this project, so we did that collaboratively. They were very supportive of the benefits of this project, but because we're also a National Historic Site that's designated so because of the Mi'kmaq cultural landscape, they were also interested in making sure that when you came into the park, you didn't see a big piece of infrastructure.
The solar project was funded through an almost $600,000 Government of Canada investment to support greenhouse gas emission reduction efforts in clean technology. Shepherd estimates at the rate the array is producing power, that investment will be paid off in 20 years. And perhaps most importantly, over their projected 35-year lifespan, the panels will be responsible for reducing greenhouse gas emissions by over 3,300 tons, the equivalent of taking 1,035 cars off the road. Shepherd says since the pandemic, people have sought connection with the outdoors, and it's important to make that experience as enjoyable and green as possible.
there's a direct link between the visitor's experience here in the campground and the knowledge that their experience is powered entirely by the sun. So that for us provides kind of a really neat connection between, you know, a visitor understanding their visit in the context of the larger picture, not only of protecting a national park, but the, you know, the work to mitigate against climate change as well while they're here.
I'm Ed Halverson.
And we make a stop in Kingston, Ontario to try out Canada's first commercially available electric boat. The boat has been named the Voltairi 260. And of course, a demonstration was a must. The project was 13 years in the making, says Voltairi Electric CEO Cap Heaps. The objective was to build a boat that could provide a complete and much quieter day of use on water. The boat is manufactured an hour away from Kingston in Merrickville, Ontario. Kingston Mayor Brian Patterson says the Voltairi 260 fits perfectly with Kingston's vision of sustainability and leadership on climate action. Journalist Karen Musna met up with Voltairi Electric CEO Cap Heaps.
This is huge. I mean, electric charging station for boats. Now, is this something that we're going to probably see more of in the future across more cities?
Absolutely. This will be Canada's first marine fast charger. And this is the summer, actually today, we're officially launching the Voltairi production demo, the world's first performance electric boat, zero emissions, no noise, recapturing the serenity of our waterways.
And you'll still be fully, you know, functional as a boat, you'll be able to get, you know, where you need to go in terms of speed and all that?
Yeah, the reason we've spent 13 years of R&D to getting towards this day is the objective of our whole engineering mission was to build a boat that will give you a complete day of use on the water. So that's how you'll be able to use it just like your traditional combustion boat.
Now, in terms of cost, is it... is generally on par with what you'll see with other motorboats at this point?
The initial products in the marine EV space will cost a premium, much like the automotive industry in its early days. You know, the first Teslas were about $250,000 because the initial product is a smaller volume, new technology, etc. And then focus on a luxury product. And as time goes on, more mainstream products will enter the marketplace.
I mean, there's definitely benefits for the environment, for the water. Any other benefits you think that are important to look at with an electric boat?
Well, one of the other benefits besides the reduction in emissions is the reduction in noise. So the first thing that strikes you when you get on an electric boat is the lack of noise. And when you're out on the water, you know, we don't use boats in driving around downtowns and on highways. We use them in, you know, beautiful, serene waterways. So to be able to remove that noise is makes the future very exciting. And it also allows you to talk to your friends without yelling at them.
Well, the Voltairi Electric is not the only one jumping on the outboard electric bandwagon. The Beneteau Group, renowned for its luxury outboards and sailboats, has recently partnered up with Quebec's Vision Marine eMotion to take advantage of its 180 powertrain system. Beneteau, who has launched in March 2022 the all-electric Delpha 11 for boating on inland waterways and lakes.
Avakumova in beautiful British Columbia, and you are tuned to Viewpoints.
Well, the Voltairi Electric is not the only one jumping on the outboard electric bandwagon. The Beneteau Group, renowned for its luxury outboards and sailboats, has recently partnered up with Quebec's Vision Marine eMotion to take advantage of its 180 powertrain system. Beneteau, who has launched in March 2022 the all-electric Delphi 11 for boating on inland waterways and lakes. The 117-kilometer bidirectional underwater electricity transmission line between Haldimand, Ontario and Pennsylvania, USA, has been shelved. The announcement was made on August 2nd by the Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation, stating that the developing company has suspended all project development activities and commercial negotiations on the Lake Erie Connector Project, or LEC. The high-voltage direct current underwater electricity transmission line was scheduled to be built next year and planned to deliver 1,000 megawatts of power directly between Ontario and 13 U.S. Midwestern and Mid-Atlantic states, the largest electrical market in the world. The Six Nations of the Grand River Elected Council was prepared to invest $33 million in the project. It is not their first clean energy project. The Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation manages 20 renewable energy projects in and around Six Nations territory. Details with Andrew Dow in Oshawakin, Ontario.
A 117-kilometer bi-directional underwater electricity transmission line running between Haldimand County, Ontario and Erie, Pennsylvania, USA has been shelved. The Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation announced that the developing company, ITC Investment Holdings, had suspended all project development activities and commercial negotiations on the Lake Erie Connector Project, or LEC. The high-voltage direct current underwater electricity transmission line would have delivered 1,000 megawatts of power directly between Ontario and 13 U.S. Midwestern and Mid-Atlantic states. The Six Nations of the Grand River Elected Council was prepared to enter into a $33 million equity investment deal in the LEC project that would have created economic benefits for the Six Nations community. The project was anticipated to have site work beginning in 2023. The overall project aim was to improve the reliability and security of the respective energy grids by maximizing use of existing assets and would have increased market access and the ability to manage energy needs, all without taxpayer subsidies. In addition, it would have given Ontario the capacity to respond to shifting supply and demand outages and system planning requirements. The Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation manages the Six Nations' economic interests in 20 renewable energy projects and numerous economic development opportunities in and around the Six Nations territory. Currently, the Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation's green energy portfolio is capable of producing over 1,300 megawatts of renewable energy through its direct or indirect involvement in 7 solar and 13 wind projects. The Six Nations Grand River Development Corporation is located on the Six Nations Reserve and employs an average of 140 employees.
Atlantic Canada's first solar-powered pedal bus is now rolling down the streets of Halifax. On board, some 14 passengers get to drink, eat, and listen to music, all while touring some of the city's best spots, and this without worrying about having a designated driver. The buses are owned by a company named Ride Solar. Co-owner Steve Arnold bought two pedal buses from Europe. He's been operating them since 2019 in downtown Halifax, the other in Charlottetown, PEI. The idea first emerged while the group was dreaming of a solar-powered dinner cruise and boat tour in PEI. The party bikes or pedal pubs have been operating in Europe for over a decade and first arrived in the United States a couple of years ago. Our reporter Sarah Guda is with Ride Solar co-owner Steve Arnold in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
My name is Steve Arnold, and I'm one of the directors at Ride Solar. Our head office is located in Prince Edward Island, and I have two business partners, Peter Ixkis, also in Prince Edward Island, and Jeff Boning, who looks after our Halifax operations. And we have a business that provides sustainable tours and transit. We got started in 2019, actually, with a vision for a solar-powered dinner cruise and tour boat in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. And we bought a 1967 heritage vessel from the famous Montreal Expo, and we have been restoring and repowering that boat for the last 6.5 years, and it's launching hopefully in a couple weeks here in Charlottetown. But we got sick and tired of waiting for the boat to be ready, so we also invested in two pedal pubs. We bought them from Europe, and they're 14 passenger bicycles, and then we did all the solar electric adaptation here in Prince Edward Island. And one bike went to Halifax to operate in downtown Halifax, and the other one is in Charlottetown. And we would have been the first in Canada back in late 2015, early 2016, except for we had trouble getting the bikes allowed to be used on the road. And we kept at it for a couple of years, and after they these bikes were deployed in Montreal and Calgary and Edmonton and Victoria and Vancouver and Toronto and other places, then it was decided that we could start them in Atlantic Canada, and we've been operating them since 2019, and they are solar powered in the sense that the bikes still need people to pedal them, but we have an electric assist pedal assist motor on each bike that run off of batteries, and the solar panels on the roof help charge up the batteries. So it's kind of neat. And we do pub crawls. We visit in Halifax, we visit Sapori Italian Street Food, the Brown Hound Pub, and Garrison's Brewery. And in Charlottetown, the bike is actually licensed, so we can serve up to two drinks per person per tour on the bike in Charlottetown. And we've got a few different restaurant partners there. Most of the time we go to the Old Triangle and the Dally Cafe or Sugar Skull Cantina, Mexican food. And it's just a lot of fun for people to get out and get a little bit of exercise. It's easy pedaling with the electric pedal assist motor. You can have some really great food and a few drinks and get together with your friends and play music and go along the waterfront of both cities, which is really nice. Very, very pretty, in my opinion, compared to a lot of the other bikes in Canada, where it's really just an urban jungle of cement buildings and stuff like that. We've got lots of really pretty scenery in Atlantic Canada. And both bikes, well, our whole business actually supports different charities. A dollar from each passenger for every tour in Charlottetown goes to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And in Halifax, a dollar from every passenger on every tour goes to the QE2.
How is this beneficial for Halifax's environment?
Well, you know, I don't have the CO2, tons of CO2 per carbon footprint, you know, carbon footprint that we save by not having a gasoline or fossil fuel powered vehicle. I know that in our business plan, I did all the number crunching, but it's quite significant. If you look at the fact that our bikes hold 14 people, that replaces really a passenger van that would normally have to take people around doing tours. And we do three tours a day. Each tour is 2 hours long. and times two bikes, but specifically in Halifax with the bike that we have there, we run from May 1st till October 31st. So if you do the math, that's 6 hours a day times potentially 6 hours a day times 30 days is 180 hours a month times 6 months. You could do the math there. That's about a thousand hours of non-fossil fuel burning activities.
So the party bike, I've seen it and it honestly looks kind of fun, just people having a good time. I guess, how did you come up with that idea to have like a party on wheels down this?
the idea is actually not ours. So these party bikes or pedal pubs, for lack of a better term, have been operating in Europe for over 10 years. And then they came to the States a number of years ago. And I don't know who came up with the idea. Some people think it's really silly. And it is silly. It's, it's fun. It's a type of thing that, there's no real practical purpose behind it. And we're not trying to say that the fact that it's solar powered means you don't have to pedal at all. You do have to pedal a little bit. But the idea is that you can get out with a group of people and friends or coworkers or stagettes or family reunions or whatever it is, play your music, have fun by being together. And of course, having a few drinks and eating some really great food along the way is great. And you don't have to worry about driving. We have a dedicated driver that does that. The solar panels and the electric adaptation, well, the electric adaptation is not new. Some bikes have that, but the solar panels for us is really what's different. And it fits with our brand, which is Ride Solar. And that's why we wanted to do it. So we have actually 1.2 kilowatts of solar on the roof, which is quite significant for a vehicle. You wouldn't be able to get that on a typical car. It's because the bikes have a pretty, they're 18 feet long. Our company is probably happy to just stick with the tours and doing the fun stuff for people. To get into automobile technology and stuff like that, that's a little trickier. We don't propose to be experts in the solar business. We just like to have really cool, fun rides that are environmentally friendly. You can see it, but the readers can't see it. Our slogan is "Save a Duck," so it's try and save the environment, have fun, and save a duck while you're at it.
And I guess, what are some initiatives that Ride Solar is currently working on?
So we really got to get this boat in the water in Charlottetown. We would like to do a similar project for Halifax, have both a land and water excursion in both cities. We are also getting busier, which is great. And we are considering having a second bike in Charlottetown and or Halifax as the demand grows. We're partnering with ambassadors in Halifax who have the Harbor Hoppers and who resell other tour excursions. We anticipate getting busier. It would be really great to have a winter tour vehicle. I know it's maybe not as popular. We have people doing stuff in the summertime or in the wintertime, but people still go out. They still want environmentally friendly stuff. So, we're trying to wrap our heads around, what we could do there. And then our restaurant partners are really fantastic there. And of course, with every ticket, we've got a dollar going to the QE2, which is a really important hospital and charity in Halifax.
Thank you so much, Steve. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences?
No, we love students and we love Dalhousie. So it would be great, if anybody wants to get their groups involved and go for an easy pedal, have some fun, have a few drinks, have some great food. We love you guys. So it would be great to see you on the Ride Solar party bike.
Another group living in Winnipeg, Alberta, recently launched their own version of the party bikes. It's called the Pedal Pub. They bought theirs from the Netherlands after experiencing the concept in Germany. And we're back in Kingston, Ontario with our journalist Karen Musna, who met with the Kingston East Community Center team. The team's community solar project recently received $460,000 in federal funding to install 460 solar panels on its roof and parking lot. The announcement was made by Kingston and the Islands MP, Mark Gerritsen. Once the installation is complete, these green additions to the Kingston East Community Center will be 96% more efficient than a regular building of its nature. The city of Kingston, which owns the building, is even trying to find green sources for the missing 4% to make it a 100% net zero project, says Jeff Rempel, constructions manager for the city of Kingston. The community center should be energized as soon as this fall. Journalist Karen Musna is with Jeff Rempel.
The panels are getting more efficient every day. So we're 96% more efficient than a typical building of this nature. That remaining percentage is equivalent to about 2.8 tons of GHG just through the consumption of that little bit of electricity that we need. And that's less GHG than a typical family home across the street. So it's phenomenal. And sort of another thing to that effect is that small amount of electricity that we need that equates to that 2.8 tons a year of GHG emissions, that can be resolved if we find a different source for that electricity. So our energy and asset management division at the city is trying to source green sources for that electricity so we can make this 100% net zero. Yeah.
In terms of challenges with solar, you know, like you might get, you know, a day where you're not getting as much sun as others, like is that sort of all taken into consideration with this?
It absolutely is. It's mapped out over an entire calendar year. And all the different solar companies, they have different models for that, and they model it over the last 5 years, 10 years. What's the data? Where are we going? And in general, in North America, we're starting to see more sun. Like we're heading to a future where we're going to have fewer heating days and many more cooling days.
So that's all the time we have at Viewpoints. Thanks to our journalists Karen Musna, Andrew Dow, Ed Alberson, Sarah Gouda, National Coordinator Maureen McEwen. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Please take a peek at the stories they produce each week on canada-info.ca and follow us on Twitter on CanadaLJI. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. It was a pleasure to have you with us. Goodbye.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.